I was reading my Bible on my phone one day, and my mother thought I was texting someone. She said, "Son, I'm talking to you. Don't be texting." I said, "Mom, I'm reading the Bible." She said, "No, you're not. That's not the Bible." I said, "The Bible's on my phone." She said, and she picked up her Bible. She said, "Never forget the real word of God." So she's probably punching Jesus this morning going, "Can you believe he's saying that about me?" Last Sunday, we talked about the 10 women that were waiting for the bridegroom to come. Ladies and gentlemen, in reality, Matthew 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25 were discourses, and please listen to me, these were discourses to the 12. They were not sermons intended for the masses. Does everybody hear me? It was intended for the 12. He was sharing with them not only prophetic things that were going to take place in the distant future, but he was talking to them about his role in Israel right then. He was the bridegroom. Everybody say, Jesus was the bridegroom.
Jesus.
He still is. He went in, and remember, the bridegroom purchased the bride. Are you hearing me? A contract was signed. There were 10 people witnessed the contract that the groom signed. How many ladies were waiting for the bridegroom? 10. 10 is the number of God's order. In fact, to have a synagogue operate, you needed 10 elders or priests to operate. It takes 10 Jewish rabbis to operate one service at a synagogue. The number 10 and the number 5 are extremely important, because in every one of these parables, either the number 10 or the number 5 show up every time, because God's preparing something big. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, we have the story of the virgins or ladies who are waiting for the bridegroom to come. There is a cry that is made that the bridegroom was coming. 5 were wise and 5 were morons. That's really the translation. Do you know why? Not because of the lack of preparation. That's part of it. But while we try to spiritualize, ladies and gentlemen, the light and the oil, there is no hyper-spiritual connotation there. The entire message is, be prepared for whatever you're going to do. Remember, we said the bottom line is, no matter what happens, you keep waiting for the bridegroom. Why? Why? Because leaving to go out and try to get oil at that time is going to cause you to miss what? The arrival of the bridegroom. Jesus said, the bridegroom has come. The cry has already here. And he goes in and purchases the bride on the cross. And when he completes that thing, of all of the thousands that were there, only 500 saw him leave. Think about it. Remember the message. There are opportunities you need to seize now that will never come back. Never let anything distract you. I don't care who's doing what. You do what you need to do to be faithful to what God's called you to do. Are you listening? In Matthew 25, beginning with verse 14, Jesus, now watch this, Jesus rolls from the parable of the bridegroom coming to the talents. And we as Christians, as evangelicals, we always get hung up on the oil and the light. Well, you know, the oil is the Holy Spirit. Well, it couldn't have been because the foolish had it. Well, they lost it. No, they just ran out, but they still knew the bridegroom. And this was before Jesus died. So that does not represent the Holy Spirit. It represents, ladies and gentlemen, simply be ready for the bridegroom when he comes. Don't get your mind on everything else. It's good preaching, isn't it? Well, when the bridegroom comes, Jesus says at the end, be watching. Verse 13, you watch. Everybody say watch. Well, how do I do that? Does it mean that I go to church and stay at church all the time? How do I watch? How do I prepare for the bridegroom to come? What does this have to do with me in 2021? How do I do this? Watch what the scripture says. Verse 14, what is the first word of verse 14, Matthew 25? Again. Everybody say again. That means this is what the kingdom of God is like. Again. Again. Everybody say again. Look this way. When you read your Bible, read it thoughtfully. Consider every word you're reading because it has meaning. Again means at that time, the kingdom of heaven, verse 1, will be like. Verse 14, again, you could read it like this. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his what? His wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Now I know that it says talents, but that's where we lose track. We focus on the talent instead of the message Christ is trying to get us. Okay? So he gave 5 bags of gold or talents to one. How many to another? 2. And to another what? 1. Each according to his what? Ability. Now, what kind of ability? The ability to invest, because he is a wealthy man. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. This has to do with money. Everybody say money. Well, why would Jesus say it like that? Because we were purchased at a great price. What we have is worth more than 5 talents, 2 talents. 1 talent. It's worth more than money. Wow. How many have, has anyone ever bought an antique or had an antique passed down in your family and somebody says, you ought to sell that? That'd be worth a lot of money. And what is your response? No, because this is worth more than money to me. Are you with me? So, he gave each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Everybody say, then he went on his journey. Look this way. There are some things God's going to leave it with you. Oh, I can't do that by myself. Yes, you can. Because he gives you according to your ability. Wow. Verse 16, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained what? 5 more. So verse 17, so also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the dude with 1, verse 18, who had received 1, went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now he thought his master just wanted to keep it. You know, and just keep it. Don't let it. Have you ever had anybody keep this? In fact, I loaned a guitar to my son-in-law, and I've never let anybody use that guitar before. And I said, you are the only one who plays that. Do you understand? Yes, sir. This guy is given this, and he's thinking, all he wants me to do is just keep it and hide it. Watch now. After a long time, after how long? A long time. The master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. I've gained 5 more. His master replied, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Share whose happiness? Share whose happiness? Didn't say share, come and enjoy yourself. He said, share your master's. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This is good, folks. I'm trying to hurry. Verse 22. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. It sounds like he had this thing written out. Why would he commend the guy that had 3 less with the same commendation he commended the guy with 5? Here's the key. According to his ability. He said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. Wow. Verse 22, I've jumped down. His master replied, verse 23, well done, good and what? You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who'd received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man. Don't you like it when somebody always goes, I know how you are. I know how you are. And they use that as an excuse. I know you. I know. You don't know me. I know how you think. Always remember what I've told you. No one can get in here, your head, but you and God. Nobody else. I don't care how many hours of counseling you go to. You have private chambers there, nobody but you and God knows. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. Verse 25, so I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Now, why would you fuss at somebody that had taken care of what you gave them? Think about it. Because I'm going to share some points with you that's going to sort of shake us up a little bit. You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I'd harvest where I'd not sown and gathered where I've not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit. My what? It wasn't a personality gift. It was money. God's going to put things in your hands to invest to get the kingdom of God going, and you're running around looking for some gift or some talent for you to do stuff or sing or teach or preach or something. When he's going, look, what I put in your hand, put it into the kingdom of God. Don't just stick it in a bank for your own rainy day. Oh, that's good preaching. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. What was the number we said? 10. Give it to the one with 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more. Uh-oh. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, it just seems like good stuff just keeps happening to them. They just keep getting and keep getting and just they keep getting in. And it's because they use what they have. Well, I don't know why it doesn't ever happen to me. You don't ever use anything. You hoard it. You're trying to save for the rainy day. I'll never forget, Jesse Duplantis said, when he first got his first airplane, he said, I thought I better put some money aside in case one of those, because you know one of those engines might go down. And he said, I had $1 million in the bank in case one of those jet engines went down. He said, and guess what happened? Jet engine went down. Guess how much it cost him? $1 million. He said, guess what I never did anymore? Plan for a jet engine to go down. He said, since I haven't planned for an engine to go down, never had one go down. Now, I know some of you going, ah, that's silly. No. Let me finish. So the bag of gold has been given to the guy with 10. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. What did we just hear about the five morons? They didn't get any more because they didn't plan. They didn't invest what they had. They had to leave the place they were assigned to go try to find from somebody else. Look this way. God will never send you to the world to get what he gives you. Wow. Remember the scripture? Walk not in the ways of evil men. Don't even walk by it. Turn from it and what? Pass away. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Father, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to use this? Oh, Pastor, that's just stretching it. Somebody needs to help. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. Verse 30. Here's what this guy, the other guy said, come on in and enjoy the master's happiness. Throw this worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, you know, I'm born again. I really don't need the Holy Ghost. And I really don't need to know anything about healing. And I really don't need to know anything about the gifts of the Spirit. And I really don't need to know, you know, I'm just interested in making it to heaven. That's all I'm interested in. Guess where you're not gonna make it? Because you didn't invest. Wow. I didn't bring my clicker. Is my clicker? Hand my clicker. Praise God for clickers. Here's how we apply it. Some of you are going, we're talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. What do I do while I wait? I invest what I have according to my ability. And listen to this. If your ability, and I'm just going to use this as an example, is the ability to build engines, find out how the Lord wants to use that and invest it in His kingdom. Find out how you, what, I'm getting my degree in counseling. How does He want me to invest that in the kingdom? I thought about you while I was reading this. Until Jesus comes, does it mean that you just sit and wait and go to church and just be at church and go home and live good and be good? No. While you're waiting, as you run every race, Lord, while I'm running, is there something I can do for you out here? Because He wants you to win. Is there something I can do for you? Can I tell somebody about you? Can I just be kind to somebody? What is it? That investment, ladies and gentlemen, oh my goodness, with my company, what is it you want me to do? Just represent Him well. Invest in, sow seed in others. Children. My mother used to say, I may never preach to great crowds, but if I can win you children to Jesus and get you full of the Holy Ghost, I will have accomplished them. Do you know what? She accomplished great things. She got grandchildren working for Him. So what's the application for me? Number one, never forget this. It tells me what God expects of me. Listen very carefully. God expects production. John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And those that don't produce, He's going to cut them off. And those that produce, He's going to prune. Do you know what the word prune means? It means to clean. He's going to clean you. He's going to keep what the Lord is saying to you. Understand, I expect production, not just going to church. I expect you to produce. I don't take my children and turn them over to the world. Well, you know, I really don't want to make them. Yes, I do. If one of my grandsons starts running toward the highway, I make him turn. I don't say, John, oh, Granddaddy don't want to tell you what to do, but you might not want to go that way. I want to tell you, Nano just go get his hand, you'll bring him back in a heartbeat. Read that out loud. It tells me what God expects. Look this way. God expects nothing but production. Wow. The second thing this story tells me, it tells me when I'm successful with what I have that I keep doing it. I don't just say, boy, that turned out good. Come on now. I can't tell you how many people have come through this church, and when you say you need help in an area, do you know what their response is? Well, I worked so hard in the last church, I don't want to work it anymore. Guess what you're not going to get? Prove that, Pastor. Take the gold from the guy that had one and give it to the man that had 10, because those that have much are going to be given more, and those that have nothing are going to be, it's going to be taken from them. No, sir. Everywhere you see me, I'm going to be working. I don't care what I did in the last place. I don't care what. I'm going to do what he says. Wow. So it tells me that I'm going to keep doing for him. I'm never going to stop. Somebody asked me several years ago, when are you going to retire? I said, when my toes are turned up or Jesus comes, you can say I'm retired. I can see some of you going, oh God, he's going to be here forever. No, Jesus is coming. Number three, this parable tells me, wow, read it with me. I want you to read this. It tells me the person who wants to keep things as they've always been will not be a part of God's kingdom. Well, we've always done it like that. This is how we did it years ago. This is what, if you always keep things as they've always been, you'll never be a part of God's kingdom. Wow. Do you know what they didn't like about Jesus? He was doing things different. Say that. He was doing things differently. They didn't like that. Oh, I don't like that sound. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like the way that. I like the way it was years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, God never does things the same way. Good preaching, Dr. Burrell. This is number three again. Bet you never had that happen before. It tells us, whatever you have, read it. Use it or lose it. Yeah, but I don't have that much. If it's one thing, use it or lose it. God knows what your ability is. He's not going to make you do something you don't have the ability to do. So just don't even concern yourself about that. What can you do? Well, you know, I could never have a radio program. You don't need a radio program. If you have children, raise them. If you have grandchildren, raise them. If you have great-grandchildren, raise them. If you're working in a place, be the best that if anybody there, and don't care what everybody else says. Wow. Don't forget this. The king is going to arrive when you least expect him. So you better have been investing. He has not called you to sit. He has called you to work. He has called you to grow. He has called you to invest. He has called you to share. Jesus is coming. And when he comes, we are not just going to stand before him and him go, your name's here, come on in. He is going to say one of these two things, well done, good and faithful servant. Or he's going to say, you were lazy, wicked, slothful. You were only concerned about yourself. You thought that I was happy with you just sitting there. Well, I went to church and I made Jesus Lord of my life. Well, guess what? The door's going to close and you're not getting in. Well, maybe at the last minute he'll have... No, baby. The five morons tried that and they didn't get in. You can't run like you run and not prepare, right? You can't do for him without preparing. Man. So I want to ask you, are you, yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand, the political climate so bad has nothing to do with what God's called us to do. Yeah, but you don't understand, since a certain party has gotten control in our state and our town, has nothing to do with what God's called you to do. Yeah, but you know, there's just a spirit that's at work in the world. There has nothing to do with what God's called you to do. You couldn't have lived under any more tyrannical government than the apostles did. You and I have never lived under somebody that would put human beings on a pole and make torches out of them to light up his garden at night. And you think you have it tough. God's word says the bridegroom is coming. The Holy Spirit right now. I asked the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, when are we going to hear the Holy Spirit say, get ready, the bridegroom's coming? He said, he's been saying it the whole time you've been on the planet, son. It's not going to happen. It's happening. He said, the only thing that has to happen is for the bridegroom to come. And now you just be doing and be found faithful doing. What did Jesus say? Occupy until what? I come. That didn't mean sit in a corner. That meant occupy till I come. My waiting is I'm doing something until he comes. I know what time it is, but I don't care. I want you to sing. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Jesus is coming. And he is speaking to my heart to tell you to use what you have. If it's giving in offerings, investing in ministries, if it's donating time, whatever it is, and listen to me. If he doesn't come first in your life, you will never come first in his kingdom. Lord, I'm gonna do this, but I gotta go over here and do this. No. We are going to put him first. Are you hearing me? Wow. The Holy Spirit is crying out to us, get ready, he's coming. Say it with me, get ready, he's coming. Get ready, say it again, get ready, he's coming. Say it again, get ready, he's coming. Do not play around. Everything you do do it for Him.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256, visit us online at zionca.org, or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.